Good morning, and welcome to our worship service today on this first Sunday in Advent. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, the time is near for us to commemorate the birth of your Son, Jesus, our Savior. But Father, our hearts are stained with sin. They are not fit as a home for one so pure and holy. That is why we come to you and ask that you would not only forgive us for our uninviting hearts, but that you would also use your word to root out all that makes us unfit to be called your own. Help us to look forward not only to the arrival of the babe of Bethlehem, but also to the arrival of the King of Kings as he comes again in glory. Be with us and bless us in our worship today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is The Advent of Our King. I invite you to stand for the last verse. I invite you to follow our Advent worship service order of service by following our service bulletin today, beginning on the middle of page 2. We begin our worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus is the light of the world, and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. In this Advent season, we celebrate the coming of Jesus, the light of the world. Dear Jesus, we celebrate your coming at your birth in Bethlehem. We thank you for coming into our hearts by your gift of faith, and we look forward to your coming on the last day when you will take us and all believers to be with you forever in heaven. As we meditate on your manger, your cross, your empty tomb, and your word, we come before your throne today confessing our sins and asking for your forgiveness. Lord of heaven and earth, forgive us all our sins, As we see the world in darkness and in need of your light, increase our faith, love, courage, and strength. Give us your power to be lights in this world, reflecting your love. Amen. Our Father in heaven has been good and merciful to us. In his love, he has given us, his children, the greatest gift. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, whose birth in Bethlehem so long ago we celebrate. Jesus came as a lowly servant to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. By his shed blood on the cross, we are forgiven. In peace and joy, let us now sing of our salvation. We pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for today is taken from the book of Romans. First, we'll read from chapter 5, verses 15 through 19, and then we'll read chapter 6, verse 23. These words from Romans remind us of the gift of God, forgiveness of sins, justification, which means we are declared innocent in God's sight because of Jesus Christ. And because of that forgiveness, we are given the gift of everlasting life. But the gracious gift is not like Adam's trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of this one man, it is even more certain that God's grace and the gift given by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflowed to the many. And the gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin, for the judgment that followed the one trespass resulted in a verdict of condemnation. But the gracious gift that followed many trespasses resulted in a verdict of justification. Indeed, if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through the one man, it is even more certain that those who receive the overflowing grace of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So then, just as one trespass led to a verdict of condemnation for all people, so also one righteous verdict led to life-giving justification for all people. For just as through the disobedience of one man, the many became sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, the many will become righteous. And then from chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the undeserved gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our second reading for today is from the Gospel of Luke. We'll read from chapter 1, verses 67 through 79. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. These words from the first chapter of Luke's Gospel are spoken by the man named Zechariah, who was the father of John the Baptist. And he prophesies about what John would do. He'd be the forerunner, the one who would tell the people about this coming Savior Jesus, the greatest gift. His, that is John's father Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited us and prepared redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, just as he said long ago through the mouth of his holy prophets. He raised up salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, in order to show mercy to our fathers by remembering his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham, our father, to grant deliverance to us from the hand of our enemies, so that we are able to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, because you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of God's tender mercies, by which the rising sun from on high will visit us, to shine on those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Here ends our scripture readings. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed, beginning on the bottom of page 5. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who was the perfect gift, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from James chapter 1. We'll read verses 17 and 18. Every good act of giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change or shift like a shadow. Just as He planned, He gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits of His creations. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, with Thanksgiving now in the rearview mirror, many people have transitioned into full-on Christmas prep mode. As we begin the season of Advent today, we are, in a spiritual sense, doing the exact same thing. We are shifting into full-on Christmas prep mode by looking ahead to the birth of Christ on Christmas. For many people, there are a number of treasured Christmas traditions that they and their family do each year in preparation for and in celebration of Christmas. There are also a number of Christmas traditions that we do in our worship services and in our homes during the Advent season and during the Christmas season to prepare our hearts for the celebration of the birth of Christ at Christmas. This year, during the season of Advent and Christmas, we'll be taking a look at five popular Christmas traditions and consider how they can help us truly prepare for and celebrate the coming of Christ, both His first coming so long ago in Bethlehem and His second coming, which could come at any time. And so we pray that the Spirit would bless our study during this blessed season of Advent, which of course is a word that means coming. We look forward to Jesus coming. If you had to pick five of your favorite Christmas traditions, which ones would you pick? If this was Family Feud style, and we put the top five answers on the board and polled 100 people from across the country, would your five favorite Christmas traditions line up with theirs? Would the five Christmas traditions I picked for our four Sundays in Advent and then one for Christmas Day, would they match up with the top five that most people across the country would pick? I don't know, maybe. But I bet if the survey was made up mostly of children, I could probably guess what the number one Christmas tradition would be on that list. Gift giving. Let's be honest, as adults, it's probably pretty high in our top five also. Getting and giving gifts is a pretty fun part of the Christmas holiday. Getting and giving Christmas gifts is a treasured part of our Christmas traditions. I know it has been and is still for me today. Some of my favorite Christmas memories are all those days around Christmas after our parents would put those Christmas presents under the Christmas tree. The shiny wrapping paper and the bows, wondering what it is that we got. And if my parents weren't around, my brothers and sisters and I would sometimes maybe move them around a bit, shake them, take a look at them a little more closely, try and figure out what it is that we got for Christmas. I would guess for most people, gifts are a very big part of Christmas traditions and the Christmas celebration. Unfortunately, of course, for many, it is the reason for the season. But do we often remember, or do we always remember, what the original reason for gifts at Christmas time was? What was the purpose that they started doing that, giving gifts at Christmas time? Well, from what I've read, the origins for giving gifts at Christmas actually go back to St. Nicholas. Yes, the one whom the fictional Santa Claus is based on. St. Nicholas was a man known for his generosity, his charitable deeds throughout the year, but he was also known for giving gifts at Christmas time to symbolize the gift of God in sending Jesus Christ at Christmas. And so the giving of gifts originally at Christmas time was meant to be a celebration and a reminder of the ultimate gift of Jesus, His presence among us, the Emmanuel, God with us. This symbolism and this original meaning of giving gifts at Christmas, unfortunately, has been lost for the most part by many over the past years. Our text for this morning speaks about gifts that our Heavenly Father gives. We read in the first verse of our text from James 1:17, "Every good act of giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the lights." The ultimate perfect gift that God our Heavenly Father gave us at Christmas is also spelled out clearly for us in our scripture reading from Romans. And Romans chapter 6, verse 23 tells us, "The undeserved gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Like any true gift, we realize that this gift of eternal life that we've been given in Jesus is completely free. It is completely undeserved. The end of our sermon text for today reminds us that even our faith, the saving faith we have in Jesus, is an undeserved free gift of our Heavenly Father, given to us by His grace, because this is the way He made us His children. Listen again to verse 18 of James chapter 1. It says, "Just as He," that is God, "just as He planned, He gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits of His creations." So despite what some of the Christmas songs and some of the Christmas traditions would have you believe, we do not actually get gifts at Christmas time, depending on how naughty or nice we've been. Cover the children's ears in the back. But we do not get gifts because we have been nice, or we don't get gifts because we've been naughty. That is not the nature of a true gift. A gift is given out of love for the one it is given to. If we were given gifts depending on our performance or on how naughty or nice we were during the year, I can say for certain I would get lots of lumps of coal at Christmas time throughout my lifetime. And I'm guessing you probably would have too. Gifts are, by definition, free. They're given to us because the one who gave us the gift loves us, sometimes despite our performance or our behavior. Well, the same thing is true of the perfect gift we received from our Heavenly Father. He did not give us a gift that we deserved. He did not base His Christmas list on whether we, or all of mankind for that matter, were naughty or nice. Think back to that verse from Romans chapter 6. Think back to the first part of that verse. It tells us what we deserved if God gave gifts according to merit or what we've earned. He actually uses a word for earning something. It says, "For the wages," the paycheck, what we've earned, "the wages of sin is," not a lump of coal, but death. And that refers not just to physical death, but eternal death. Well, fortunately, much like our earthly parents, our Heavenly Father didn't give us presents or gifts according to what we deserved. He gave us a gift of His grace. Grace is a word that means undeserved love. He gave us the ultimate gift of His grace when He sent Jesus to win eternal life for us on that cross of Calvary. Listen again to some of the words of our scripture reading from Romans chapter 5, talking about this gracious gift from God. "But the gracious gift is not like Adam's trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of this one man, it is even more certain that God's grace and the gift given by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflowed to the many. And the gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin, for the judgment that followed the one trespass resulted in a verdict of condemnation. But the gracious gift that followed many trespasses resulted in a verdict of justification. Again, that word meaning declare not guilty. The gracious, undeserved, free gift that God gave at Christmas was not a new toy, not a shiny new gadget. It was the priceless gift of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. The proclamation of our justification, God declaring us innocent for the sake of His Son, Jesus. This gift of His eternal Son, our Savior from sin, was wrapped in a package of human flesh and placed not beneath the Christmas tree, but in a lowly manger, inside a livestock barn. And so this gift of Jesus may not look like the most impressive gift, but this little baby would grow up to be a carpenter, a traveling preacher, and still would not look to be the most shiny, glorious gift, the most eye-catching gift ever given at Christmas. But make no mistake, and if we look closer, look past that shameful cross to the empty tomb and see the shining glory of this valuable, ultimate gift and see our glorified, risen Savior who's promised us, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. There we see the glory and the value of this great gift of Jesus. But when we think of gifts at Christmas, we also usually think, or I hope we usually think, of giving gifts, not just receiving them. In fact, that's why I titled this Christmas tradition, Gift Giving. As we grow older, hopefully we eventually realize the truth behind Jesus' words when he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And we especially want to give a gift to show our appreciation for someone who has given us a really great gift of some kind in the past. Well, God has given us the greatest gift of all time. How could we possibly show our appreciation? What gift could we possibly give in return to God that would properly show Him how thankful we are? To repay Him for this unimaginable grace He's given toward us? Well, the fact is there isn't one. There is no gift that we can give back to God that could sufficiently thank Him for giving us forgiveness, for giving us eternal life through the sacrifice of His only Son, Jesus. However, amazingly, there is a gift that God desires from us above all things. It's not something that can be bought or sold. You can't even find it online if you searched for it. God wants our hearts. That's what He desires most from you and me. King David wrote about this in Psalm 51 when he said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite, that means repentant, heart. These, O God, you will not despise. The kind of hearts that God wants from us are broken ones. A heart that has felt the weight and curse of sin and has simply given up any reliance on our own righteousness, our own worthiness, our own merit, and throws itself instead completely and trustingly on the saving grace of God's perfect gift, Jesus Christ. Unwrap that gift every day. I can say that confidently because the Bible says His mercies are new to us every morning. We can receive that gift every day, not just at Christmas or during the Christmas season. And remember, this gift is free. Enjoy it eternally and share this perfect gift with others. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We continue with our prayers for today. Several prayers have been requested. First of all, we prayed a couple of weeks ago for Pastor V.S. Benjamin, who was the leader of the CLCI back in the early days of that church body. The Lord has, in his grace and mercy, taken him to his heavenly home this past week. So we pray for his family and thank the Lord for the work that he did through Pastor Benjamin. We also pray for the president of our church body here in the USA, the CLC, Pastor Mike Eichsted, who is pastor in the Milwaukee area. We were told by his family that he became dizzy and short of breath on Friday and passed out. They took him to the hospital where he underwent some tests this weekend, and as far as I know, he's still hospitalized there. They do not think it was a heart attack, but they think it's some sort of arrhythmia issue. Yesterday he was feeling fine, but still awaiting some results of his tests. So we'll pray for his health and safety going forward as well. Any other prayer requests for today? Yes, John. All right, any other prayer requests? Yes, Mark.
I'm praying for my wife, Barb, who fell down and injured herself.
We'll definitely pray for her, and we thank you for filling in for her in the organist duties today with the recorded service. Thank you. Any other prayer requests today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful and grateful to you for the blessed life that you gave to your son and servant, V.S. Benjamin. We thank you for the incredible gifts and blessings you gave to him, and for the many years of service you gave him in your kingdom and in the congregations that he served in India. We thank you for the family and friends and all that you provided for him, but most of all, Lord, for your grace in making him your child at his baptism and for bringing him to faith in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We praise you for giving him a peaceful end and an eternal cure for his illness and all of his physical burdens and pains. We rejoice that he is now sharing the eternal joys of his heavenly home with his Savior Jesus and all the believers that have gone before him. Dear Lord, give comfort to all of his family and friends and loved ones with the words of comfort and encouragement that we receive from your word. Give them joy when they think of the fact that he is now sharing the eternal peace and joy of heaven with you, where there is no sin, sorrow, pain, or death. Give them and all of us your peace, dear Savior, the peace that the world cannot give, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that comes from your forgiving love, which you displayed for all of us on the cross. Sustain and keep his family and loved ones and all of us in saving faith through your word until our final day comes. Dear Savior, we also lift up in prayer our brother, Pastor Mike Eichsted. Please keep him safe as he undergoes tests in the hospital. And if it's your will, Lord, restore his health completely and help him return to his duties as pastor and president of our church body. Give comfort and strength to him and his family who are praying for favorable results for him as well. Dear Lord, be with our sister Barb, who fell and injured herself this weekend. Give her healing, give her swift recovery from her injuries, and we pray, Lord, that any results from her tests would be positive as well, and that she would not be severely injured from this fall. Thank you for watching over her and protecting her. Give her, Mark, and her family strength as she goes through this trial once again. Please be with Peggy as she works a busy retail season at Macy's. Give her the health and strength that she needs to do her work. And please bless John as he works this Christmas season as Santa. Give him the strength and ability to do his work and to bring joy to the people that he meets and the children that he blesses with his cheerful presence among them. Dear Jesus, our Savior, we ask that you would come into our hearts again this Advent season, Help us to watch eagerly for your return with eyes of faith wide open. Open our eyes to see your presence and your coming to us in our daily lives through your word, through your sacraments, and through the people you have given us to love and serve. We thank you, Lord, for coming into our hearts and lives. We thank you for coming into our world in such a wonderful, vulnerable, and loving way to save us and to sacrifice yourself for us and to open our eyes to what true love and real life, eternal life, really is. You truly are the greatest gift ever given by our Heavenly Father. Help us to trust wholeheartedly in your word and the promises you have given to us there. Help us to live according to your word fearlessly and willingly. When we see troubling things in our lives and in the world around us, when we see signs that remind us that we are living in the last days, we pray that you would lift our eyes and hearts to heaven and to you for our comfort, for our joy, and our assurance of forgiveness and eternal rescue. We pray that you would come quickly, dear Jesus, and we pray these things in your saving name as we pray now in your name, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We'll continue with our next hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Please rise. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord, and we'll respond with the doxology. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn for today is hymn 358, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. We'll sing the verses printed in your bulletin. I invite you to stand for the last verse. Please be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard today. A few announcements from the bulletin for today and for this week. Following our worship service today, those who are able to stick around and help us decorate the Christmas, to decorate the church and put up the Christmas tree for the Christmas season, we're welcome to do so. There will be some snacks and refreshments provided after the service today as well. I'll be heading up to Hayward for worship service at 1 o'clock and then Bible class at 2 p.m. today as usual. For this week, Monday, school resumes after our Thanksgiving break. Tuesday, I'll be heading up to Stockton for the worship service at Oakmont Senior Living at 2 p.m. And then Friday, we'll be having the memorial service for Elaine Hawker that will be held here at our church here in Mountain View, not in Hayward, at 4 p.m. A few more details are in the bulletin for you. Next Sunday, our Bible class will be at 9 a.m. Worship service with communion will be at 10. I am not sure if we're going to have choir practice, but we'll put Lord willing by that announcement and see how Barb is feeling this week. If she's able to go, we'll do choir practice. If not, we'll make do. I believe those are all the announcements I have for today. There's a list of the church council members who were re-elected or who were elected during our elections 2 weeks ago. A note also that our installation of officers will take place during the worship service on January 8th of 2023. And then the Christmas season worship schedule is printed for you at the bottom of page 12 in the bulletin. We have our Advent Wednesday worship scheduled for December 14th. There will be Christmas cookies afterwards. And then Christmas Eve will be held here, a joint worship service at 5 p.m. with a children's program. And Christmas Day, since it lands on a Sunday, we'll have that at 10 a.m. here in Mountain View and 1 p.m. in Hayward, Christmas Day. Any other announcements for today? Yes, Angela.
I just wanted to say that the snacks include apple pie.
So ooh.
Please stay.
We're bribing you with apple pie to stay. Yeah. And I will tell the Hayward congregation I have to skip the next service because I need apple pie. They may not go for that. What's that?
Just eat it fast.
Eat it fast, yes, correct. I like that idea. Any other announcements today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And